This is the son of PCJ. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is Media Network Plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to the program. Coming up today, we're going to put the spotlight on the BBG. That's the Broadcasting Board of Governors. But to be more exact, the BBG Watch, a non-profit, non-governmental organization set up to keep an eye on U.S. international broadcasting. We will also have the details on the 7 receivers in 7 months contest. And then later on, Dan Hensley will join us for a look at what we can expect in propagation over the next 7 days. Media Network Plus, get your seatbelts fastened, and away we go! First, here's Paulette with a look at some of the headlines from the international media.
Today, Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty mourn the tragic loss of Hasiba Shahid. Hasiba was involved in a car accident in Prague and died of her injuries. She was a fearless reporter who joined the RFE/RL's Kabul Bureau in 2003 as a senior reporter-producer for Radio Azadi. She moved to Prague 2 years ago to work as a broadcaster for Radio Mashal. During her time with Radio Azadi, Hasiba won 3 consecutive awards for best reporting in the service. She investigated the smuggling of women, which caused an uproar with a local warlord who pressured provincial authorities to silence Hasiba's reporting. Hasiba is 29 years old and is survived by her husband and 2 young children and an extended family in Afghanistan and abroad. French ADSL television platform Orange will close down its Orange Sport channels at the end of June. In their place, Al Jazeera's beIN Sport 1 and 2 channels will be offered to its subscribers after striking a deal with a Qatar-based broadcaster. Orange Sport has about 400,000 subscribers who will be offered the option to sign up to beIN Sport 1 and 2 from May 24th. beIN Sport 1 is expected to launch at the beginning of June. According to local press, Orange has signed up to distribute Al Jazeera's channels for 4 years. New figures show that BBC World News has burst through the 300 million distribution mark, increasing the number of households it broadcasts in by more than 40 million over the past year. Total distribution of the BBC's international news channel now stands at more than 330 million households, following recent deals with Comcast in the U.S., TV4 in Sweden, ERTSA in Greece, and DLife, a major distribution deal with Disney in Japan. BBC World News is expected to receive a further boost when it moves into state-of-the-art new broadcasting studios in London later this year, improving the look and feel of its international news output for audiences. BBC World News commercial director Colin Lawrence called it evidence of both a breakthrough year for the channel and our audience's increasing hunger for global news they can trust in very turbulent times. Full-time 24/7 distribution of the channel has also risen from 179 million to more than 200 million households, making it one of the biggest international news channels in the world. The DRM Receiver Task Group, represented by Ludo Mas and Mireia Martinez, has been to China to meet with various radio broadcasting organizations and companies. The meetings, with chipset manufacturers RDA Microelectronics and Silicon Labs, receiver manufacturers Philips and Texon, mobile phone manufacturer Nokia, automotive supplier Continental Corporation, and Chinese government broadcast agencies and organizations, including the State Administration of Radio, Film and Television, China Radio International, and others. Chinese government organizations are very interested in DRM, especially for international broadcasting on shortwave, and they are awaiting the official decision to be able to start regular digital radio broadcasts. If you'd like more information on these and other stories, we invite you to check out the blog for Kim Andrew Elliott. Just go to www.kimandrewelliott.com, and Elliott is spelled E-L-L-I-O-T-T. Or go to www.pcjmedia.com, and you'll find a link at the bottom of our homepage. I'm Paulette Macquarie.
Thank you.
The Voice of America, Radio Free Asia, Radio Free Europe, and others all fall under one organization in Washington, D.C. called the BBG, or Broadcasting Board of Governors. They oversee all U.S. international broadcasting. But in recent years, the BBG has come under fire from many people around the world and from within the U.S. itself. When the VOA announced it intended to cut Chinese programming to China, it got many people up in arms. One group that keeps an eye on what the BBG is doing is BBG Watch, a non-governmental, non-profit organization set up a few years ago. They hold to account the BBG and report on events that the BBG is either trying to keep quiet or put out the facts that the BBG is holding. Marie Chiliberti is a contributor to BBG Watch, and she now joins us on the line from the United States. What is BBG Watch's main objective? Is it to keep an eye on decisions that are made at the BBG concerning international broadcasting?
Well, that's a hard question to answer because we're not an organization per se. BBG Watch is a blog. It is an offshoot of the Committee for U.S. International Broadcasting, acronym CUSIB, QCIB, and it's a nonpartisan, non-governmental organization that sprung up when we were trying to save Voice of America Mandarin and Cantonese broadcasts to China in 2011, when they had announced drastic cuts to both of those entities and wanted to put the services only on internet. In a country where internet is blocked and monitored by conservative estimates of about 50,000 cyber activists. The battle in the Congress was started in 2011, and through the process, the good result was that both of those services were saved. The Committee for U.S. International Broadcasting was started by a lady by the name of Ann Noonan, and together with Ted Lippian, who is a former employee of the Voice of America that went from a broadcaster in the Polis Service to the chief of the service, to a stint in RFERL, to the chief of the Eurasia Division, and finally as assistant program manager of the Voice of America. So he is technically in charge of the blog. He has many contributors who write articles, and it's exactly what it says. It's a BBG Watch organization on what is really going on in international broadcasting. But as far as some kind of conspiratorial thing or that we meet in secret rooms or whatever, that's not the case. It's a voluntary organization of people who have volunteered their time. The members of the Committee for the U.S. International Broadcasting, you come from all over, former Foreign Service officer. We have people from the citizens' rights groups, Reggie Littlejohn, who's for women's rights and who has testified on the Hill, Ann Noonan, who has also a number of organizations fighting for human rights. So it's a loose coalition of people who are dedicated to making U.S. international broadcasting the best that it can be.
Not too long ago, there was a very, very interesting posting that, in many ways, the blog actually broke the story about how certain people within, not BBG Watch, were trying to mislead Congress on the use of shortwave to China, which was extraordinary because that was picked up by many media outlets in Europe and also here in the Asia Pacific. So in many ways, it's almost like you're what you would call fact checkers.
Exactly. I think that that's what it is, because I think that the message that they're giving on shortwave, especially to a highly controlled society like China, and the kind of research that they depend upon, is flawed. You can't get a focus group of people in Beijing or Shanghai and ask them whether they listen to the Voice of America. We can say we listen to any station here. You can't do that in Cuba, for example. You don't. They were relying on telephoning into Cuba and saying, do you listen to Radio Martí? And the answer would be, are you crazy? And they put the phone down. So it's the type of research I happen to have known because my back in 1961, I was a guide on the U.S. information exhibit Plastics USA, which went to the Soviet Union, was the first traveling exhibit and the first exhibit after the 1959 Sokolniki exhibit to go into different cities in the Soviet Union. We went into Kiev, Moscow, and Tbilisi. We were the first Americans that they had seen in Kiev since the American and Soviet soldiers had met at the Elbe. I mean, there were, you know, diplomats that came in or other people. But in Tbilisi, the same thing. We were as if we were aliens from another planet. And but they gave me a shortwave radio, a portable shortwave radio. My job was, and they told me quite frankly, you probably won't be able to hear anything because everything we're told is jammed. Well, technically, yes, in the hotel, in different compounds within Kiev or Moscow and Tbilisi, there would be total obliteration of the signal. However, my friends knew I had a portable shortwave, and that my Soviet friends, they would take me to different parts of the city. I remember one behind Pecharskaya Monastery, and different parts of the city where you could hear it. We went outside the city, which was astounding to me, 20 kilometers outside the city on the river on a boat, and I had my portable shortwave with me. And I tried to find, you know, VOA because I had all the frequencies, and clear as a bell, came out just like WTOP in D.C. And all of these things I would do monitoring throughout the country, but the main thing was that people knew about the exhibit, for example, and that was only broadcast on the Voice of America. They let us put up a few posters here and there. They didn't let us advertise in the newspapers. The people came by word of radio or word of mouth mm-hmm. with people that would come to the exhibit. So, and then the most astounding thing which I picked up was, who is Willis Conover? I didn't know who he was, but it seemed that almost half of the people that we talked to when we were on the exhibit, the exhibit ran, we had to work 6 days a week, I guess it was, on the exhibit, I would constantly get these questions about Willis Conover. What does he look like? Does he have a wife? Does he have children? What kind of car does he have? What does he eat for breakfast? I mean, who is he? I found out who Willis Conover was, and that was, I heard him there in the company of my jazz-loving friends that would turn on the radio, and Duke Ellington would come out, Bill Evans, Louis Armstrong. And I found out that he was an icon and a god to these people. They didn't know that in Washington. And they didn't know it until I had sent back my report to the director of Voice of America. And I started out my report with, who is Willis Conover? And because before I went, I had been only on the job for 5 days, and they came to me and said, do you want to go to the Soviet Union? I said, well, I hadn't been thinking about it, but okay, what, who, what, when, where? But they detailed me to exhibits. I worked with there, and then in May, I was in the Soviet Union until October. So in those 6 months, I learned a lot about not only the radio reception, but in things that they had heard on Voice of America, on and especially this incredible hero who later on became a very important part of my life, and that was Willis Conover.
Well, you know, this is the whole thing that I find interesting about this, because I've heard this from friends of mine who work as correspondents in Beijing, and I lived in Beijing for about 8 years. A couple of years ago, it was, well, actually, no, more than that, in 2004, 2005, There was a group from another international broadcaster that was in China, and they were brought to areas where people listen. And a friend of mine who was a correspondent for an American radio station told me the strangest story. She said, I don't know how they're going to get accurate information, because they went to one area about 100 kilometers outside of Beijing, were talking to local people saying, do you listen to the BBC World Service, for example? And in Chinese, and people were saying, yes, we do. And they said after about maybe 15 or 20 minutes, there were some local officials that came by and wanted to find out what was going on. And all of a sudden, the story that these people were saying, say, yes, they listen to the BBC Mandarin service, became, no, we don't listen to the BBC Mandarin service because we have enough good quality media here in China.
Right. They self-censored themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And also with, you know, bringing in, I was in a situation where they had focus groups for the VOA Georgian, and they played the tapes from the focus group, and the people on the service said, that's not what they said. They said this. They were answering this question, and you're saying that that was the answer to your question. Well, not necessarily so. I mean, these are people who were language experts. So I don't know their research institution. I don't know how they do it. They have posted that they interviewed 18 people or 180, either one, about the VOA Cantonese radio. And you're talking about anywhere between 50 and 70 million concentrated in Guangdong province and in Hong Kong. How does a handful of people tell you of what's going on in the countryside?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and their other decision to cut VOA Cantonese was, and it's in writing, that since Mandarin and Cantonese speakers can both read standard / classical Chinese, that you could cut VOA Cantonese because it wasn't needed. There's only one problem. Mandarin and Cantonese are two different spoken languages,
mm-hmm.
totally different, both in its tone things. And it's as I think there was an article on BBG Watch that said it's like a chicken talking to a duck. So basically, the contention has always been that some of the research on which they're basing very important issues in international broadcasting is based on flawed research. So if the BBG Watch says that, I mean, that's one of its functions, if you know, to separate fact from fiction. And well, the thing on Mandarin versus Cantonese was fiction.
I do remember when the VOA was, they made this announcement to drop Mandarin and Cantonese. And the question that many people are saying, well, what are people going to do? And they said, oh, they'll just turn to the internet. Now, I can honestly say in the eight years that I was in China, not once was I able to access the VOA website. So how were they going to do it?
Maybe there would be a delegation of people from BBG that would do it. I don't know. I have no, that is the question. So you have focused in on the thing, why is there a BBG watch? These are the kinds of topics that are discussed. But you see, in the past, the management of the Voice of America, which was not a huge agency at the time, would rely upon its service chiefs, its service people, to inform them on the situation within a particular country. The same thing, we had the resources of the U.S. Information Agency and things that came in from the embassies and research. We had a research division at the USIA also, which would provide research. RFERL had a very fine one that was based in Paris that would do quite a bit of research. So, but I don't know, it may, you know, it's, I don't know how it changed. I don't know how it changed. And to be assailed on by saying that we are deceiving the Congress, not so.
That was Marie Chiliberti from BBG Watch. If you'd like to check them out online, go to the BBG Watch URL, which is very easy, bbgwatch.com. That's bbgwatch.com. At the end of this month, which is May, June, July, August, September, October, and November, PCJ Radio will be giving away seven SanGen ATS-909X receivers to seven lucky people. Now, to enter this contest, we're doing it a little bit differently from contests that we had before. Guess what? You don't send an email. No. You have to call the PCJ answer line instead. So you have to leave your name, the country you're calling from, your email address, and tell us why, in under 3 minutes or 2 minutes, why you should be one of the winners. The phone number to call is very easy. It's +44 20 32 86 1399. Once again, the number to enter is +44, which is a UK number, 20 32 86 1399. And by the way, we will be using some of the recorded messages on this program as well as other PCJ programs. So enter today. Now, we are, of course, at the end of May, and, well, we have a winner for the month of May. The first receiver for the 7 month, seven receivers contest goes to Kenneth Johnson in Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. So, congratulations to you, Kenneth. We've already contacted you, and the radio will be sent out to you later next week, so do let us know when you get it. You're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio. Okay, let's now move on to, guess what? Propagation. What can we expect over the next 7 days? Well, here's our propagation guru, Mr. Dan Hensley.
And here's propagation for the week from May 26th to June 1st, 2012. The 10.7-centimeter flux will be 115 all week long until June 1st when it spikes at 120. The A index will be 5 all week long except for May 30th when it spikes at 8. The KP index stable at 2 except for May 30th when it spikes at 3. Sunspot groups 1483 and 84 are passing out of view at this time, and that brings us sunspot groups 1486, 88, and 89 into view. No large coronal holes on the Earth-facing side of the Sun have been spotted this week. With the A index being higher than 3 this week, we should see at least a slight increase of ground wave propagation due to a continued pattern of radio wave absorption. But if we have proper daytime ionization of the D and F layers this week, we could very well enjoy some nice nighttime band openings based on double hop propagation.
Thank you very much, Dan Hensley. Dan Hensley is the, well, you can say manager, operator, whatever, of a very interesting blog called Shortwave America. And you can find them on Facebook and email us. And actually, we'll put a link. We'll put a link at the Media Network Plus page. I think there's already one there now. I should know that, right? yes, do check out our own website, pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, and you'll see a link on our website to Shortwave America. Now, if you're going to be online and want to take part in some very, very lively conversations with other listeners, including yours truly, I invite you to check out the Facebook page that we have set up for PCJ Media and PCJ Radio. Well, that's what you have to search for. Now, I should mention that it's not just about Media Network Plus. No. It's about the other programs that we have as well. Focus Asia Pacific, Nash Holos, The Kelly Alexander Show, and of course, Happy Station. So, do check it out. And I mean, there's some interesting, you know, people that are there. Victor Gunatetica Parthwa, who won a receiver that we had, that we gave away in March. Peter Anthony Holder. There's a lot of really interesting conversations. And Parthwa, with his new ATS-909X, has been uploading some video of some radio stations that he's picked up in India on FM, but the stations are not in India. They're in places like Thailand, which is very interesting. And there's also a very interesting review there, not a review that we did, but a review from a listener of ours by the name of Chris Fiertes, who was actually on the show not too long ago. So he did a review of the Texan PL660 and many, many other things as well. So do check it out. You'll have a lot of fun. Come take part of the conversations and give us your thoughts as well about any of our programming here at PCJ. Now, I just want to remind you again before we go about the contest that we have called 7 Receivers in 7 Months. We're giving away, of course, one for the month of May. That goes to a listener of ours in Thunder Bay, Ontario, by the name of Kenneth Johnson. And we have another receiver for June, July, August, September, October, and November. And the way to enter is you have to call up the PCJ answer line at +44 20 3286 1399. That's +44 20 3286 1399. Leave us your email address, your name, the country you're calling from, and why you should be one of the receivers. And I want to stress right now, please do leave your name, because we had a listener, I believe he was from the United States, and he went on to explain why he should be one of the winners. And then he said, my email address is, I can't remember it right now, but you know my name, it's easy to find. But he didn't leave his name, and we're not mind readers. So if you're hearing this right now, call up and call up again, or send us an email so we can actually, you know, mend it together. Funny message, by the way. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have time for. So on behalf of Paulette McQuarrie, our propagation editor, Dan Hensley, this is Keith Parent wishing you well, hoping that we'll see you all again very, very soon. 73s to you all and 88s to the ladies.